Father, we come to you this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for life. Thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together once again here in your house. And Lord, it's that time now. We open your word once again. We ask you, dear God, to help us, Lord, as we open the word of God. May the Spirit of God be our teacher. May he lead us and guide us, Lord, in every word that we say and everything that we do here today. Lord, may your people, Lord, as we open the word together, find what we need today, Lord, to direct our lives this day and this week ahead of us, if you give us life this week. Father, we are grateful for the Word of God that we have, God, to help us in this walk that we're trying to go through here on this earth for you. Lord, without you, without the Word of God, we'd be lost. We'd have no hope, but Lord, we thank you for it now. And bless your people together today as they come, help those that are sick, Lord, those that are hurting, those that have special needs, I pray you bless them, Lord, supply their needs today. Lord, bless our church together, our family, and all the needs that are here today. Lord, have your will and way now in our hearts and lives, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Find your places in 1 Corinthians today. We've been talking about for this quarter, living in an imperfect world. Today is my last Sunday. Next Sunday, Brother Brian will be here, Lord willing, with a new subject, and I know you're going to look forward to that. But as we conclude today, more or less, our topic of living in an imperfect world, I want us to focus together today on something that's very interesting, very positive to all of us. We live in a world, we know, that has vastly changed in the last 20 and 30 and 40 years, hasn't it? I mean, it's just unreal, the things that we see today that we thought we would never hear and see in our lives. Never thought I'd hear of a student in a classroom sneezing and another student saying, bless you, and the teacher dismissing this student said, bless you, because we don't say that word in our class. I mean, that is literally ridiculous. It really is. But other odd things that are taking place in this world today that are not in our hands. You know, I'm afraid if we're not careful as children of God, we might get a little bit discouraged because of all the things that are taking place, and seemingly we have no control over them. They're just happening all the time. I mean, you think, well, that's, I never heard anything no worse than that, and then next week you hear something even worse. You know, all these things popping up. But you know, we have to realize two things. Yes, ma'am. Amen. I know we are. I know we are. But all these things that are happening assures me of two things. Number one, that God is in control. God's in control. And number two, God has a plan. He has a plan. And he's working that plan out to one day he's going to call the bride home. Now, he's got to work it out his own way, and he will. He is. And we as God's children have to recognize that whatever takes place in this world that we have no control of is in God's plan. It's in God's plan. See, he's trying to get ready, I call it, to draw the net, so to speak, to take his children home. I believe that. Someone said, when is the Lord coming? I said, well, I'm surprised he ain't already come today already. And I think you would say the same thing. But I think sometimes of all the things that are going on in the world, you know, it's kind of like we're getting disgusted, we're getting frustrated with all these things. And I think God is, through these things, preparing us and literally getting us to the point that we're longing for home. We're longing for heaven. I really believe that. I know I long for heaven more now than I ever have. I really do, because of the things in this world is going on. It's not really a good place to be in, live in. And the young people today in which we have here, you know, they don't have a good future to look forward to, you know, but unless they're saved. If they're saved, they have everything to look forward to. And the same thing with us today. So we see that we're living in these times that we are just flabbergasted with things that are taking place in this world. But today I want us to get out of the present world we're living in, okay, just a few minutes. And I want us to look forward in time to a time that we all can look forward to as God's children. Now, as God's children. Now, people that are not saved don't have this opportunity to look for this time, which we're going to talk about today. But there's some changes that's going to take place in the near future, I believe. I don't believe it's going to be long, but in the near future, that you and I can be excited about and recognize that when these things do take place, we're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice. And we don't have to live in this world. You know, we may live in this world. I may live in this world the rest of my life. I don't know. You may too. But I really believe the Lord is coming. I believe He could come even today, even before we finish this lesson today. We get out of church today. I believe that with all my heart. But I want us today to look at something here that I hope will be an encouragement to you and to me to realize things don't always stay the same. Things will change. They're going to change because it's in God's plan to change. It's in God's plan to change. Therefore, we have something really to look forward to as God's children. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we know this is the resurrection chapter. God talks about this. Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth. He's writing to believers. He's writing to believers. And today I want us to look at some victories. Some victories that we have because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the future. In the future, you see. Some victories we have. Now, I want you to notice first of all, look in verse number 51. Verse 51, let's look at the first victory we have here. Paul says, let's back up to verse 50, first of all. Let me clarify something. The promise of the resurrection here, a situation requiring the promise. Notice it says in verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit corruption. So we see the necessity of the resurrection to take place. Flesh and blood cannot enter to heaven. We have to have a new body. We have to have a new body in order to get there. But notice also in verse number 51, Paul says this, behold, I show you a mystery. We, who is we? Christians, children of God. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all what? Sleep. But we shall all be what? Changed. Notice verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. I want you to look at here the first victory, the victory of change. Praise God. One day, I'm not going to be who I am today. Physically, I'm not going to be who I am. My body's going to be changed. Notice here are two things we see here. First of all saints will not die. Okay? Secondly, all saints will be changed. Will be changed. The Lord could come today and you and I would not die, right? Physical death. But we will be changed when He does come. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, He's going to come. We'll get that in a few minutes. But we're going to be changed when He snatches up in the air where He is. We're going to be changed. All of us are going to go through a change. All of us may not die, physical death, but we're all going to be changed. So we see the first change we're going to face in the future is a victory of change. A change is going to take place in us. You know, as we live this life and we get older physically, all kinds of things happen. Don't it? Not just like this. It does. If it hasn't, it will, okay? But I'm glad that when this change takes place, it's going to be a body likened to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a glorified body. It's going to be a body that won't wear out, have no problems with it whatsoever. Whatsoever, no problems at all. I'm looking forward to that change, aren't you? I'm looking forward to that new body that Christ is going to give me whenever He calls me home and calls up the church. There's going to be a change, a victory of change in my life. You know, He's going to call me up. I may not die, or I may die. Whichever way God wants my life to go, I know two things. It's a possibility that I may not die, but I know I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be changed whenever that does take place. This thing's going to take place in my life. And because of that, we have assurance of faith and hope that in the midst of pain and midst of all the prospects that we're going to die one day, we can be assured that our bodies will sleep if we die. And also, in the meantime, our souls will be present with the Lord whenever that time comes. Our soul may die, be asleep. Our body may die. But our soul is going to be in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ when that takes place. So we see, we have the victory of change. Change is going to take place one day for the Christian, folks. Listen, it's not always going to be in the nasty now and now we're living. Believe it, one day it's going to change. There's a change going to take place. I believe that. And I really believe that God is preparing us as His children to awaken to the reality of the fact that it's going to happen one day. The change is going to take place. The victory of change in our lives. Now look at verse number 53. The first change is the victory. The first victory is the victory of what? Change, okay? We may not die, but we all will be changed. Now look at verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on mortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We also see another change here, another victory here, and that is the victory over death. Victory over death. Notice the Bible says in verse 52, this corruptible that we live in must put on what? Incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this has happened, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There's victory. Victory. I'm glad to know that when this body dies, it just doesn't be buried in the grave and it's never come nothing to it. It's not like a corn stalk. When you throw it in the ground, it dies and there's nothing to it. Because there's life after death for every man. And there's eternal life with God for those that know Christ as personal Savior. So we see here, there is a victory over death. The sting of death is sin, but Christ, by dying, has taken out that sting of death for you and I. He made atonement for sin. He has obtained remission to it for us. The strength of sin is the law. Thank God there's victory over death. Victory over death. I can say to you today, I'm not afraid of death. I'm a little leery of how it's going to take place in my body. But I'm not afraid to die, you know, as a believer, because I know what awaits me after I get through that gate, so to speak, that door, is more splendor than anything I've ever experienced in this life, you know. And I know one thing, too. I'm going to spend a lot longer time there than I am here. Time here is going to be short compared to eternity. You know, if I live to be 100 years old, that's not long in eternity, is it? But I can be with Him forever. So there's the victory of change. There's the victory over death. Victory over death. I'm just not going to die. Those of you that's lost loved ones, you know if they're Christians where they are today. You know you're looking forward to seeing them again. I am. I really am. And you know, they're just not dead, you know, dead, but they're alive. They're present with the Lord. They are. The bodies are in the grave somewhere. Yes, they are, but their soul is with the Lord. So therefore, there's victory over death for the Christian. Victory over death. Now notice also, verse 55. The Bible says, Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another victory. That is the victory shout. The victory shout. Praise God one day. You know, we're going to shout. You know, the preacher says many times, some of you right there never say it, never even grunt, so to speak, during the service, but one day you're going to shout. You're going to shout. You know, when it all takes place. Notice it says here, O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy sting? You know, if the Lord comes and takes me home before I die, I can say, O death, where is thy sting? Because I'm not going to go through it. If God calls me home, if God calls the church home, let me get it right. If God snatches up the church, I won't have to go through death. And I can say, oh grave, where is thy sting? It's gone. It's gone. I don't have to go through it. I don't have to go through it because the church is raptured up. We're all together with the Lord. We're all together with the Lord. The living believer will escape physical death at Christ's coming. Oh grave, where is thy sting? Death may take a believer, but it cannot hold him in his power. He can't hold it in his power. You see, the joy of the saints and being thanksgiving to God has been opened by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he did. I thank God for that today. Now notice it also says, O grave, where is thy victory? O grave, where is our victory? Think about this. Departed believers that you know and I know, my loved ones, they're in the grave, aren't they? How long are they going to stay in the grave? Forever? No. When the trump sounds, the Bible tells me the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Amen? They're going to rise first. And when these departed believers' bodies, the grave will be forced one day to give them up. The grave is going to have to give them up because they're going to come forth. Jesus said, come be forth. It doesn't matter where they are. They may be out there in the ocean somewhere. Where those bodies are, they may be buried in a cemetery. Where they are, that grave is going to have to give those bodies up because God is going to call them out. Every one of those. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? See, the victory shout is going to take place one day. For those that are living today, or those that have already died and their bodies are in the grave somewhere, there's going to be a victory shout one day. All of us, because of what Jesus has done for us. He died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. See, he's given us that power. One day he's going to raise us up. Folks, listen, we got a lot to look forward to. Not in this life, maybe, but in the future, and I believe in the near future, these things are going to take place. We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. We may not die. Some of people in this room will never face death because I believe Jesus is coming soon. And we see also that you won't have to die. When you die, that you're going to take on another body. You have another body one day. The victory shout is going to take place. But notice also, he says, verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, it's all because of him. It's all about him. He's given us this victory. This victory we're going to enjoy one day. The victory of change, the victory over death, and the victory shout. But also we see, notice Paul says, therefore, verse 58, therefore, because of these things he's told us, in these three verses here, because of the victories we're going to have, he says, therefore, we see another victory here, the victory of service, the victory of serving God. Notice what he says here. We see here in this verse, in verse number 58, we see an exhortation. An exhortation is simply to advise strongly. Paul says, I'm telling you this strongly. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. We see an exhortation here given to us. Therefore, my beloved brother, who's he talking to? He's talking to Christians, right? He's talking to believers. He said, therefore, my beloved brothers. He gives three exhortations here. Notice he says, be ye what? Steadfast. Next, unmovable. Next, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. We see three exhortations here he gives to us. First of all is to be steadfast. That is to be firm. Be settled. Know what you believe. Why you believe what you believe. and put it into practice in your life every day. Share the gospel with people wherever you are in this world today. Share. People need to hear. People may not want to hear, but they need to hear. And we need to be firm with this, you see. They should be steadfast. That is fixed in your faith with the gospel. Do you believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ? You should be fixed with that. And you should share that with people wherever you go. You know, that Jesus died for you. You're fixed in your fixed in the faith of the resurrection of the dead. You know, the resurrection of the dead. Fixed with that. It's all founded on the death of Christ. Because He lives, we know His servant shall live also. Because of what Jesus did. He's living, and therefore we should live also. We see here an exhortation to be steadfast. To be steadfast. That is, don't quit. Be firm. Be firm in what you do. Be consistent in what you do. You know, I'm amazed. If I try to be consistent in passing out tracts or trying to speak to people wherever I go, I'm amazed at how much better I feel within myself than when I don't do those things as a believer. There's something about sharing the good news about Jesus Christ that just excites us, because it's the most important thing and the most blessed thing that's ever happened to me and you also, if you're saved. And therefore, when we share this good news that we have with somebody else, it excites us. It makes us, you know, want to go on. It just encourages us, you see. And therefore, we need to realize we need to be steadfast. Steadfast. Ask God every day, somehow, Lord, would you please give me a chance today at least to pass out a tract or to speak to somebody about you. Help me, Lord, today to do that. Ask Him to. And I'll guarantee you, if you ask Him to, He'll make a way. He'll make an opportunity for you and for me to do that if we sincerely ask Him to. And it will encourage you. It will strengthen you as a Christian. And you become more steadfast. You become more firm in your faith because you're exercising your faith. You're telling people what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ and the one that you believe in. And therefore, it will encourage you and it will strengthen you spiritually. Notice also, he says, unmovable, unmovable. Don't change from this blessed hope that you have in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they're not in vain. These hopes are solid hopes that we have. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' what? Blood and righteousness. You see, that's my hope. That's my hope. It's not that I'm not going to make it. It's what I'm anticipating to see and to be one day, be with Him. This hope is built upon a sure foundation, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. And the promise of God, as God gave His Son to come and die for you and for me. Therefore, we're to be unmovable. We're to be steadfast in our hope, in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope is an anchor to our souls that's firm and is sure. There's nothing any more sure than to know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. He was buried for me. He rose again the third day. And He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back one day. And we have that to look forward to. It's going to be a victory for us when He does come back one day. We also see He exhorts us not only in verse 58 to be steadfast, unmovable, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding means to be plentiful. Abound means to be plentiful. Doing everything you can to promote your Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything you can. Sharing, talking, telling, whatever it is. Promoting the Lord Jesus Christ. Always in the Lord's service, doing something. Always. That should be our life. That should be our life. Every day, make an effort. Make some kind of effort to do it. Obeying the Lord's command. Be diligent. Be persevering. In the Lord's work, doing all we can. You say, well, I have a job to do. Well, we all have jobs to do. And I understand if you have a public job. But even in that public job, do what you can for Christ. You're in a place that God's put you, and you have an opportunity that nobody else has to be a witness for the Lord. Now, you need to do it in the right time, in the right way. You don't do it while you're working. You do it maybe during your break time or lunch time, but you have an opportunity also to talk to people, pass out tracts. And may God help us to do that. Listen, time is running out. I believe that. The Lord's coming. And we need to recognize, as Paul is exhorting the believers here at Corinth, he's also exhorting us to be steadfast, to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. How many tracts have you passed out this past week? How many people have you talked to this past week about the Lord? Only you know that, and God knows that. But may God help us to do more this week than we did last week. May God help us to do more this coming week than we did last week, you see. Because that's what we need to be doing. He's exhorting them to abound in the work of the Lord. Obey the Lord. Going on towards what God wants you to do. Becoming mature in the Lord. Becoming mature in the Lord. So we see here are the exhortations. Is to be what? Number one? Tell me. Steadfast. What else? Immovable. And what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. There's three exhortations Paul's given to the believers here. And he's giving us that because of who we are. Now notice the last part of that verse. This is the results. This is the results. He tells us that your labor, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in who? In the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, he exhorts us. He advises us strongly to be steadfast. And we will always abounding in the work of the Lord because your work in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. His word will not return void. He tells us that. If we'll share the word of God, somehow or another, it's going to put a seed somewhere that we share it. And God is going to use his word somehow, maybe to get something growing there. Somebody else may come back by and water it several times. But one day, God is going to give a birth there. He's going to give a birth there because his word will not return void. When we go out visiting, we need to realize we need to share the word. Not what I want to say, but what God says. And when we share what God says, that's when the results begins. We may not see instant results, but it's going to come one day. It's going to come one day. Their labor shall not be in vain in the Lord. As surely as Christ is risen, we're going to rise. We're going to rise, aren't we? One day, we are. The apostles saw him in person. They saw him in reality, the risen Savior. They saw him. We also see he will never be found unjust to forget the labor of love that people do. There's not a thing that you do for anyone that God doesn't see it. And God will reward you for it. Even if it's just a cup of cold water. In Jesus' name. My, my, my. What a privilege we have, folks, to be servants for the Lord. To live for Him in this walk of life. Life is very brief. It's like a vapor, James says. It's going to soon be over for all of us. It ain't going to be long for all of us. We're going to be in heaven. You know that? We're going to be in heaven, folks. I mean, we're not guaranteed even today, the rest of this day, much less next week in 5 years or 10 years. Soon it's going to be over. Those who serve God cannot do too much nor suffer too much for their Savior. You can't do too much. You can't suffer too much for what God has done for you. What Jesus has suffered for you and for me. My, what a Savior we have. that loves us so much to do that. If we serve Him now, we will also see Him hereafter. We'll see Him one day. I can't conceive. If I don't serve Christ today, I'm afraid that I'm not going to look forward much to seeing Him when I see Him. But the more I serve Him, the more I want to see Him. And the more I'm looking forward to seeing Him because I'm trying to serve Him. I'm trying to live for Him, you see. But if I don't live much for Him and I don't try to serve Him much, I'm not really looking forward to seeing Him. I really ain't. Because my behavior doesn't prove that. My lifestyle doesn't prove that, you know, that I'm looking forward to the Lord to come. I'm afraid sometimes we as believers really question, is the Lord going to come? Is He going to come? Well, we have the Word of God, don't we? And the Word tells us He's coming. We don't know when, but we know He's coming. And when He does, it's going to be a great time for us as believers. If we're living on this earth when He does come, there's going to be a change, a victory of change. There's going to also be the victory over death, and there's going to be the victory shout. We don't have to die. We don't have to go to the grave. And those are believers that are in the grave, they're going to come out with a shout. Victory over the grave. If we suffer for Him on earth, and we shall reign with Him in heaven. I don't know about you, but I never have really suffered for the Lord. I never have. I mean, I've had people to call me names. I've had people to threaten to kill me. And all these things. But, of course, none of those things happen. I never have suffered, really, for the Lord. I don't know about you. But I'm glad to know that I'm not anticipating on suffering this week, by the way, okay? But if it comes down to it, I hope God has my heart ready to do it. Amen. Hope my heart is ready to do it. All these things that are going on in the world, beheading and all that, it's just, I don't know, it's just blossoming everywhere. Every day you see about it here on the news. And I say, dear Lord, come quickly. Dear Lord, come quickly. There's nothing I can do about it but pray and tell somebody about Jesus. That's the most important thing I can do. Their labor shall not be in vain in the Lord. You don't know the next person you see. When you leave this church today, the next person you see may be going through something that they can't hardly bear. And God may want you to speak to them and help them in their walk today. Your labor, my labor in the Lord is not in vain, folks. It's not in the Lord. If we even die for His sake, we're going to rise again from the dead and inherit life, eternal life. If we even have to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. May Christ give us the faith that we may need, not only to be safe until He comes, to be joyful and to be triumphant until He comes. I'm looking forward to the Lord coming, aren't you? I'm getting my mind off of these things that are happening in this world with God's help, and I want to focus on the very moment in the twinkling of an eye when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we that are alive and remain will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forever. If we focus on that, that victory that awaits us, God will give us the faith, the strength, the courage, and the joy we need in our life until that does take place. Let's don't get wrapped up in the world today, but look forward to that great day when the Lord comes and calls us home. I'm looking forward to it, don't you? I really am. I'm looking forward to it more every day. Father, thank You today for loving us. Lord, we know that we live in a world that, Lord, we can't explain, we don't understand. But Lord, we know You're working out Your plan and You're in control. And God, help us as Your children, Lord, to look forward, Lord, to the day that You come and call us home and take us where You are. Lord, that's the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He's done for us. And God, I pray, Lord, that we'll go forth this week, Lord, sharing the good news with people. Lord, about Your love for them and to them. Lord, help us, God, today. Help us, Lord, this week, Lord, to be able to share the good news with somebody. And God, help us to see somebody saved. Lord, bless now the service we're about to go into. Have Your willing way in the service, the singing, the preaching. Speak to all of our hearts, God, and encourage us, Lord, to live for You. We're living in the last days, and God, our time is running out. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because You promised that our work in, our labor, is not in vain in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.